I was smart, I'd say the message has been preached, and we're dismissed and give an altar call. Because it's far past time, starting right here, for men to be praying.
Amen.
Men to be on their knees, seeking God's face, and seeking God's will. But I do thank God has a message for us as fathers today. So as we dismiss our children to children's church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bibles, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 19 this morning. I'm going to ask you if you will stand and honor reading God's word this morning. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he answered. "Take your son," he said, "your only son, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about." So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men, which were servants, and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with this donkey, for the young boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and his sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Now here, listen to this teaching moment, starting at verse 7. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up, saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham settled in Beersheba. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May every word that is spoken be honored and glorified for your name. I pray, Father, we'd look at your word with integrity. I pray, Father, you would challenge us, prepare us, and equip us, and send us out, Father, to be a light in this world, be men of God that pray. May your name be honored and glorified. In your son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Over the years, things change around us. Things come and go, and fads come and go, and technologies change. But one thing remains the same. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And fathers, another thing remains the same. We are called to teach our children to trust God and to surrender to that Jesus Christ. And the question comes to my mind as we talk about that. How do we do that? Our children need to see us following Jesus. Our children must see us following after Him. And we do that by giving godly wisdom many different occasions. All throughout life's circumstances and situations, our children need to see us following after Jesus. Now, I know there's probably many here who maybe your father did not follow after Jesus. That does not mean that you're lost without hope. That means you need to search after Jesus because he loves you unconditionally. But you must surrender to him as your Lord and Savior. So we need to seek after that godly wisdom. We need to be given that godly wisdom. And I'm reminded of a story that I spent a lot of time with Charlie Short yesterday. We shared with me a little bit about a long time ago, about Wade when he got his driver's license. He said, you know, Wade came up to me and he said, Dad, I want to talk to you about the situation with the car. He said, all right, son, let me just share with you. I got some expectations for you, son, that I want you to kind of work on. I want you to bring your grades up. I want you to study your Bible. And I want you to get a haircut. So that was the topic of conversation for quite some time. So time went by, a month or so went by, and Wade comes back to Charlie and says, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about this car situation. And Charlie said, you know, son, I'm proud of you. You've been studying your Bible diligently. And it's wonderful to hear and see you doing that. And you brought your grades up, but you haven't got a haircut. And Wade said, you know, Dad, I've been studying, and here's the conclusion I've come to. Is that I read about Moses, and he had long hair. I read about John the Baptist, and he had long hair. And Jesus himself had long hair, Dad. Charlie says, you're right, son. And they walked everywhere they went. That's a joke. All seriousness, a father has a tremendous responsibility to share with his children, boy or girl, godly wisdom. And even has to give his children some instructions on some things that they may not want to hear. And may have to make some tough choices in life as you work together alongside their mother and making decisions. This is the direction that God wants for us to go. And we trust the Lord in this. And you have to point them into what God's Word says. And some of those decisions may or may not be something that they agree with. But you have to stay true to what God's Word says. And you have to ensure that you're teaching your children, you're equipping your children for what tomorrow may hold and for what tomorrow may bring. One truth we must consider as we raise our children also is that they need to understand that we as fathers, we're sinful people. We make mistakes. Too often many fathers try to be this perfect person and they try to give this attitude to their children that they're indestructible and they make no mistakes. And even if they're wrong, they'll tell their children that I'm not wrong. I've said it, therefore it is. Fathers, we need to ensure that our children know that we make mistakes. They need to see us repent to our Savior. They need to see us make things right. Because you see, fathers, we teach our sons exactly how to live like a man. And we teach our daughters exactly how a man should treat a woman. So that leads me to the next thing. Fathers, our children need to see us love their mother. They need to see us in love with their mother because of what we're teaching and instilling in the lives of our children. Now, I know that many within this room and many in this world have gone through divorces, but that does not give us a get-out-of-jail-free card. We still need to have respect for their mother. And we need to instill them with the person that we are now married to what a marriage should look like. We need to point them to God's Word and say, I may have made a mistake, but here's what God's Word said. Point them to the truth. exactly what's taking place and has taken place within God's Word. In other words, we still have the task, and you still have the task of showing your children what the responsibility is of a father ought to be. So that's the question we want to answer this morning, is what are a father's responsibilities? Number one, and you're filling the blank this morning that's within your bulletin, is listen to God's call. Fathers, we need to show our, a responsibility of ours is to show our children that they must listen to God's call. As we look at fatherhood today, I'm going to trust that you've surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because this is your first and foremost step that you should take as you lead your children. They need to see you surrender to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Greg Narl has made more mistakes than he cares to admit. His children have seen him do things probably that he should not do. But I am weak. He is strong. They need to see us, kind of those points we talked about to begin with. We may be sinful individuals. We shouldn't repeatedly go down that same path. But when we do go down that path, we need to repent and turn to Him. Well, they need to see us listen to God's call. Let me tell you something, though. That word listen does not end with just being a hearer of the word. Because James 1:22 is very plain in what it says. We are called to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that listening is also applying the truths of what God's word says and what God's word shares, and the instructions that it's given for us as fathers, as we see in our text here in Genesis chapter 22. This passage emphasizes the obedience that Abraham took and the trusting that his son saw, his son took. You see, as Abraham knowingly responds to God's call and listens to him, Isaac didn't know what was taking place. We see that in the text. Father, where's the land? But one thing we see as the story unfolds, Isaac realizes and recognizes his father was listening to the call of God. You see, that's exactly the instructions as fathers today. There's no difference. We're called to listen to God's call, respond to it, be obedient to it, and live our lives in front of our children. This is how you follow God. I don't know where you're at. I know I need a lot of work. I think we all do. Not saying that you don't win. But when was the last time you were in this altar? On your knees before God. You said, I want to raise my family. And God feared Jesus trusted home. I want my family to know without a shadow of a doubt that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will live my life in fellowship and in service to Him and Him alone. Greg needs to be there a lot more often. We all need to be listening to God's call. We all need to be following after God's will. How does this relate to us as fathers today? I think it's very plain, very simple. But one thing I only think comes to my mind is a man can have a baby, but until he answers God's call, he's not a father. Now, many people may be saying, what? I'm firmly convinced that God's word is true and it's without error. And it shares for us as fathers of children today to point them to the Father who gave His Son's life on the cross that loved you and He loved me. And He calls for us to follow after Him. And men, we may have a chill child, but if we're not following Jesus Christ, if we're not giving in to Him, if we're not setting everything else aside and putting Jesus first in our lives, we're not being a father by any means according to biblical standards. It's important for us to stand up and step up to where God has called for us to be and the instructions that He has given for us to do. So let me kind of propose a question to help us relate a little bit closer today. What if Abraham didn't obey God? I'm going to put it this way. What if Abraham had lived like Greg? Let's personalize it. You can place your name there if you'd like. What if God called Greg to do something? He didn't do it. What if God called Abraham to do something? And he didn't do it. Big picture, you see, this was not a test for God to see how good Abraham was going to be. It was a test for God to see if Abraham was going to live in faith. It was a test to see and to grow Abraham's faith. Just like the very truth today, our testing that we take that takes place in our lives today, God already knows our choice and our decision that we're probably going to, that we're going to make. He wants for us to grow in faith. Why? Why? We turn to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Bible shares with us that Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith. Because of his faith. So we see in chapter 22, verse 12, says, then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. In faith, Abraham was saying, even if I have to take the life of my child, God's going to provide. You notice you read earlier, we're going to that mountain to worship. We will return. Is what he stated before they headed back, before they even went. You see, the test was not for God, it was for Abraham and his faith to be grown. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you listening to God's call? Are you being a doer of the word, not a hearer only? Where is your faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we are lacking in faith, we're not pleasing God. Fathers, we do not have anything to boast about because it's not us doing the work. Yes, Abraham had responsibility. Yes, we have responsibilities. But it's not us doing the work. One of the best ways that I've heard this explained was by a gentleman named Tom Richter, pastor at First Baptist Church Coleman. He used Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 to explain it. So I'm going to read it real quick like. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you take my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus shared how this scripture, and as he revealed, he was sharing it, that it wasn't us doing the work. You're thinking, well, how do I connect all this? Here's what Tom Richter gave an example of. He used an example of himself following his father. His father had a lawnmower, he's mowing a yard, and Tom Richter said, I had a lawnmower too, but mine, as I pushed it, you know what it did? It blew bubbles. It blew bubbles. Now, you've seen it. Little lawnmowers, toys, just around blowing bubbles. Or maybe you've seen the one that pops. But as Tom was sharing how as he followed his dad, every time his dad stopped and wiped his brow, every time his dad stopped and rearranged his bandana, every time his dad stopped and took a deep breath or got a drink of water, he did too. And once they got finished, he said, Dad, look what we did. You know what his dad said? I know, son. We did a good job here. Let's go back to the text. Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying. You see, this yoke that is placed upon oxen was used, yes, for a team to work together. But many times, if you tried to teach a young ox to do what they're called to do, fathers were getting responsibility here. The ox has been trained, the big ox, the one that did all the work, the yoke was placed upon him, and the young one was just kind of guided in his feet. And the older ox, the mature ox, he would work, pull, drag that plow, and the young ox, kind of like us, once in a while, just dance along. He didn't touch the yoke. All along, this young ox was learning how to be one that pulls through. Was trained the immature ox, how to pull. Jesus went a step further and said, you know what? Take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What is he saying there? He's saying this. Jesus does all the work. He prepares the hearts of the people he sends us to see. He prepares your heart as you get there. He promises when you arrive, he's going to give you the words to say. You can save no one because he alone does the saving. So big picture, Jesus Christ does all the work. He says, get in my yoke because my burden is easy and my burden is light. But all too often we go out and we do something, we say, look what we did. You know what Jesus said? It's right. We need to be trusting Jesus Christ. We need to be listening to his word. We need to be following after an obedient shepherd. We need to understand he alone is the one doing all the work. He just wants for you to, in faith, follow him. Follow him. He knows you're made of dust and you're going to make mistakes along the way, but he loves you anyway. So fathers, it's very important. In fact, it's of primary importance that we step up in faith. You see, the Barna Group did a study in his life. If a child is reached and attempts to reach their family for Jesus, 3% of the family comes. If a mother is reached and the mother attempts to bring her family to Jesus, 17%. If a father is reached and a father follows after Jesus, 94%. I don't know any other way to say, wow, fathers, it's time for us to step up to where our families to follow after Jesus. Time for us to step up and listen, not only listen, but be obedient to God's call if we want to make an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. That's the most important detail that we can follow after. We are called. Fathers, are you listening to God's call? Are you responding with a yes, Lord? Are you like Abraham? Immediately got up and went. It's all too often. I know what Greg's response is. But Lord, look at all I've got to do. Look at everything I've got to accomplish here. My house. God, you're going to take second place for a while because I think this is the more important than you. We may not say that verbally, but our life shows it reveals. People see and notice who is King and Lord of your life. Or what? Lord of your life. Number two in our fill in the blanks. Not only should we listen to God's call, what are a father's responsibilities? Look for God's provisions. Look for God's provisions. Between the call and the provisions, we see in verse 5, yes, we talked about many different times in the very first note how Abraham exhibited faith. As we see in verse 5, the Hebrew word here is venashubah. You know what it means? We will indeed return. He knew he was going to that mountain. He told his two servants to stay there with the donkey. He said, we're going to worship. We will indeed return. He knew and he was looking for God's provisions. How many times, fathers, have we got over our knees and prayed in this altar or not? But we didn't expect God to move. All the while we prayed that prayer, we had that doubt creep up. We didn't really have faith that God was going to provide. God was going to provide. God was going to provide. So often that's exactly what we're guilty of. Thinking, I'm praying, but nothing's happening. And the reason being, James chapter 4, verse 3, I believe, says the reason you're asking is because you're asking amiss, or you're asking with the wrong motive, with the wrong attitude of heart. You're not believing. You're not in faith trusting. You're not thinking that God's going to provide. You're not expecting God to move. How many times have we went for any of us, have we went to prayer, and we've not expected for God to move? God answers all prayers, yes, no, or wait. How
How many times have we prayed not expecting God to do it? We have responsibility, but we still must expect for God to move. I promise you, He will. In other words, in order to see God's provisions, we must be looking and we must have faith. In fact, we must be expecting God to provide every step of the way. Abraham here in our text was revealing, as he spoke to his two servant boys to keep the donkey, he was revealing his faith that no matter what took place, God keeps His promises. Whether if he went up there and took his life, God could easily raise him from the dead. 3 days, he had a journey. 3 days, Jesus was dead in the grave. 3 days later, he arose in victory over his own grave. We see a New Testament message right here in the Old Testament. It was kept 22. Faith in Jesus. Faith in God will provide. Faith in God does provide. We need to be looking closer and closer for that. Abraham knew that God was going to provide. Abraham did not quickly forget that all that God had done for him. But too many of us today have quickly forgotten everything that God's done for us. Let's just say we was raised in this church. Maybe years ago, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, a mother, a father, maybe they sang in the choir. Maybe they lived a life, an example in front of them. They said, this is how you serve. How many of us today say, you know what? I remember those days. Knowing all the way. John Doe or Jane Doe. That's a sinner. If Greg Noll's in that choir, he's the chief of sinners. I'll assure you. But I am redeemed, I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
By the blood of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. And it's my heart's desire, my daughters, see me attentively following Jesus. Knowing that I failed miserably, and I'm going to stay the course the best of my ability. And I'm going to, in faith, trust Him. Because how is our children going to know who to follow if we're not following?
Yeah.
How are our children going to know who to turn to when times get tough if we're not turning to them when times get tough? They're not. This is the easy answer. They need to see us listening and looking for God to provide, for God's will to be done in their lives. Abraham had faith. Abraham was looking. Abraham was expecting for God to provide. Fathers, let me ask you a question. Is this the way you live in front of your children? You're looking. You've got faith. You're expecting. Or do you doing none of the above? You're without faith. You're not looking. You're not expecting. God's at work, you see it around you, but God's not going to do blank. God's not going to accomplish blank. What message are we sending to the people around us? What message are we sending to our children, fathers? If all we do is doubt what God can do. Let me tell you something, there's nothing impossible for God. And we need in faith, step out in faith, trusting Him that He will provide. Listening, following after, looking, God's going to provide. Taking a step of faith, following after Him. You see, when we don't do that, and we have those doubts, and we don't search for the truth, our faith is not real, we're not looking, we're not expecting, we're not being an example to our children. We're not correcting their wrongs when they make a mistake. We're not pointing them towards what Jesus says. We're not pointing them towards what God's Word instructs. We're not giving them biblical answers. We're missing the mark. We're missing the point. Not only are we failing, but we're failing our children. We're failing tomorrow's church, or what would have been tomorrow's church. I'm a firm believer that God can do anything and everything. That there's nothing but a simple truth that says we're only one generation from the gospel stopping.
If we're not in faith doing what we've been called to do, what blessing are we missing because we're not being a blessing? 1 Peter chapter 3, I think, about verse 9. If we want to receive a blessing, we've got to be a blessing. Are we in faith reaching out? Because if we're not looking, we won't see God's provisions. If we don't look and we don't see God's provisions, how will we honor and glorify our Redeemer in front of our children? The sad truth is, we won't. We won't. Number three in our fill in the blank, what are a father's responsibilities? Let God love, let God give the blessings. Let God give the blessings. What do I mean by that, you're saying? Notice Abraham was more concerned about being obedient to God and doing God's will instead of his own will. Notice Abraham wasn't so concerned about, you know, I've got this going on, Lord. I need to do this. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham, go to land, I'll show you. What does he do? Goes. Go to a mountain and I'll show you. I want you to sacrifice your son, the one you love. What does he do? He goes. He's letting God give the blessings, not himself. What do you mean, Greg? God knew that Abraham loved Isaac. God knew that this was going to be tough. But God knew that Abraham had to let go and let God. You see, God is the giver of blessings. Genesis chapter 25, verse 11. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived in Beer Lahairoth. You're thinking, live where? Me too. But big picture, that's not the focus. God gave the blessing.
Abraham didn't let it see it.
But too often, you know what takes place? As parents, as fathers, we say, I need to give my children this. And we build this big expectation thing. We try to give them everything. And there's nothing wrong with wanting our children to have a better life maybe than we had. I'm not saying that. But when we allow that to be placed in front of God, that's when it becomes sin. When we start saying, you know what? I'm going to give you this. And it takes their focus off Jesus. You know what we've done? We became a tool of Satan. We distracted the children from what God has done. I know you love your God. God knew Abraham loved Isaac. There's none who loves the Lord to you. Because he is the creator of your child. He is a provider. His life on the cross for your child. He died for your child. But because he loved your child, he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he arose in victory over death on the grave. Why? Because he loved you and he loved your child. Amen. So fathers, we have a responsibility to live our lives in front of our children, to let God be the giver of blessings. We have a responsibility to not allow our own things and our own agenda to get in the way from pointing them to Jesus. Because here's the big picture. Let's say
you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not following after him. I don't know if you've ever saved or not. But I do know when you are saved, you want to please the Father. Say that's your heart's desire, but you never point your child to who Jesus is. Because of your lack of faith, your little faith, and you didn't take a step of faith, your child never surrendered to Jesus to say. You've got to keep responsibility for us. Point your child to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because Philippians 2 shares with us. Jesus Christ is Lord. So we get ready for a song of invitation. Message for everybody. There's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be be saved. With the heart they believe and are raptured. With the mouth confession is made in salvation. It's a believe and receive process. Fathers, I'm firmly convinced this message was for your pastor. Fathers, I'm convinced this message was for you too. For us as fathers, and we sang that song earlier, when men pray, and we talked about war ceased, and we talked about all these troubles and things took place. I think it's high time, fathers, that we get on our knees, we get this altar, we pray. We pray for our children. We pray for our spouse. We pray for God to move. We pray for the Bible to come. Because, fathers, I'm firmly convinced it starts in me. It starts in you.
Amen.
So this altar's open. You want your child to surrender to Jesus? Come. Come, get on your knees before the Father in heaven. Let your child, let your wife see you. Pray for them. Let your Father lift you up in faith. Won't you come? I'm pleading. I'm honestly urged. Come. As we stand, let me say your number.
Leave on a worship note, 426, I believe you know it, victory in